Backseat Quickies, episode 98, The Bechdel Test.
Wow, chicka wow, wow, chicka wow, wow, chicka wow, wow, chicka wow, 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 chicka wow, wow, chicka wow, 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 wow.
Alright, so this is another episode where I just get something off my brain. And it has to do with the Bechdel Test, which, if you don't know, is, this little metric, or just a little checkbox you can have whenever consuming any piece of media. It originated in movies, but you can obviously talk about it for pretty much anything fictional, where it passes the test if two female characters have a conversation about anything that is not a man. And it comes up a lot in feminist criticism of media, unsurprisingly. And somewhere along the line, it became this, like, holy grail where, you know, oh, a film can't possibly be feminist-friendly if it doesn't pass the Bechdel test. And I've actually... But here's the thing. It's a joke. Literally. It's the punchline from a comic strip. Alexis Bechdel, who the test is named for, wrote a comic strip called Dykes to Watch Out For. And the joke was that I won't... was one character wouldn't see a movie if those conditions were met. That was it. Haha, social commentary. And I mean, yeah, I mean, it's still pretty valuable, but, you know, you can have fun compiling lists of movies that may or may not meet this criteria. Like, for example, Alien. Aliens. Even the last two Alien movies, which may or may not have happened, depending on how I feel, don't really meet this criteria. But no one's going to say Ellen Ripley is not an empowered female character. I mean, the same is true of Terminator 2. Or, you know, there's this new movie coming out, Gravity, where Sandra Bullock is a astronaut who's caught in free fall because of a horrible accident with some micrometeors. But that's it. Like, and obviously it shows that the reason those ones don't pass is because, hey, there are no other women in this movie, which is a little bit of a shame. But it's still not an end-all be-all, because no one's going to say Ellen Ripley and Sarah Connor aren't badass and worth having more characters like. And I just don't get why it's such a big deal in some circles, because it's just one metric. Like, I've got a friend who won't play a video game unless the female characters in it wear pants. Or at least that's how she puts it. I think I've managed to force her into a corner into admitting that if they wore dresses of reasonable lengths, she would also accept that. But again, that's not a great measure either, because, you know, in some cases for comics, you've got characters who have had their best, you know, female characters have had their best iterations not wearing pants. Gail Simone's run on Wonder Woman, the, you know, absolutely amazing Palmiotti/Connor run of Power Girl, you know, and a good chunk of, you know, Ms. Marvel stuff. They don't wear pants, but they're still great examples of women in the media. And, but hey, no pants. And it's, you can't just sum this up in one simple test is what I'm getting at. I mean, it's a valuable criticism. But you can also say, hey, this character has an emotional arc that is not related to a man, even in absence of other women to talk to, which is equally valid. But hey, I think we just need a broader toolbox to discuss how women are in film, and I think that relying on one test that is kind of just a joke really isn't worth it. I had to clear this out. So that's my thoughts anyhow. Catch you next time.
Oh my god, it's the Backseat Producers.
Backseat Quickies and a number of better podcasts can be found at backseatproducers.com. If you can offer any feedback or submit your own quickie, check out the thread at spookyouthouse.com/forum. Music by Scott Wachter.
Oh yeah, baby.